Do you want to know what it takes to work as a high-performing executive assistant? You'll find out when you listen to the EA Campus podcast. Join me, Nikki Christmas, the founder of Practically Perfect PA and the EA Campus, for a weekly interview with successful assistants who all have first-hand experience and lessons to share on what it takes to excel in the role. Tune in, get inspired, and learn how to create an assistant career where you are valued, motivated, and ready to face every challenge head on. Whether you are an assistant just starting in your career or prepared to move to the next level, building a successful assistant career just got a little easier with the EA Campus podcast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of the EA Campus. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Gabrielle Waxenberg. Hi, Gabrielle, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a lot to cover, so why don't you start by letting us know a little bit about your career to date?
Of course. So I've been an EA now for a little bit over about 12 years. Most of that has been a C-level admin. I started out, you know, most people say I didn't go to school to be an EA. I went to school actually to go for hospitality management, hotel and restaurant. And while I was in college in the U.S., all these casinos started popping up outside of Vegas and Atlantic City. And it was a really big time for the casinos. So in college, they expanded my major to include not only the hospitality industry, hotels and restaurants, but casino management. And I was always, math was my thing. I was very analytical. I was actually going to go to school for math. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to do this minor in casino management. It's going to be awesome. It was really math focused and it was really great for me, almost like risk management. And I went that path and graduated with hospitality management and casino management. And I also got a business minor. And I got my first job at Foxwoods Casino up in Connecticut. And I was really excited. And I was doing marketing and promotions for the big players out there. And I loved it. Except for the fact that even though I was going into hospitality, as everyone knows, it was nights, it was weekends, it was holidays. I had the overnight shift and I was 21 years old and I loved what I was doing, but I just didn't like the industry as much as I thought I was going to. You know, you go to school for 4 years and you learn all about this, but you don't really know what it's like until you start working. And after about, seriously, it was only 6 months, I said to my parents, you know, I really don't like this. I don't want to do it anymore. And they were very supportive. And I left and I got an entry level finance, AP, AR billing job in the legal profession. Just, you know, some quick little entry job. And from there, I just grew my career in, okay, I'm going to do finance. And from there, I became the head of the finance department very quickly. And from there, my boss was like, I need your help with something. You know, you're very organized. You're very this. Can you help with our scheduling department? And then from there, I not only was doing finance, I was helping with scheduling. Then he was like, with your project management skills, can you help with the production department? And then from there, I was also heading up three departments. I was 23 years old. I mean, it was a small office. It was about 10 people. And I really became the right hand to my VP. And I was like, I really like this. And so after about 3 years at that company, when I left, I needed a little step back. I was working so much and I went for an EA job somewhere. And I was like, wow, I really like this. And from there, that's just kind of how my EA career began. And I got an EA job at a manufacturing company. You know, I knew nothing about it, but an EA, as I always say, is an EA. And you can take those skills in any industry and you can use them. And that's really how my career started. And since then, I was in legal, manufacturing. I then went to an IT SaaS company. Then I went to banking. Then I went to a sustainability company. And then I went to healthcare. And it really just skyrocketed from there. And I never looked back at hospitality or anything. And it was always just my EA and that. And I really took it back to hospitality. And these are my clients. They're my internal, my external clients. And I've been doing it ever since and love it. Never look back. Well, never.
It's amazing. I've got so many questions to ask you about working in casinos, but that's mostly because I'm a big fan of Ozark.
That could be a whole other podcast.
That could absolutely be a whole other podcast for sure. The stories, oh my goodness. But just to focus on the EA aspect of your career, tell us a little bit about where you are now. So you said that you've got external clients. Does that mean that you're now working as a virtual assistant or setting up an agency? What are you doing now?
Yeah, so personally, I hate the word virtual assistant. And maybe that's because, you know, a couple of companies ago, we started outsourcing to virtual assistants and, you know, offshoring to the Philippines and Ecuador and stuff. And I thought it was so, I don't know what the word is, but I would see these amazing, most of them happen to be women. And I know, you know, the compensation is just so different, and we would be paying them so differently than what we've been paying these American assistants. And I'm just like, to the execs, it was like, oh, we can get so much work for so little. And I just felt like the term virtual assistant to execs was a way to get more for less. And I hated that term. To me, it just felt like it was a demeaning name for these execs to get something. And I hated it. So I don't use that word. To me, I don't use it. Well, I might be virtual to some. I do actually see clients. I don't like to use that word. I like to use fractional assistant to most. So in the past 6 months, I actually left my full-time job. And at the time, I was both working full-time and deciding to set up my own consulting company. And to go off on my own, saying, you know what, I can do this. I can do it on my own. And I finally just decided to pull the trigger and say, I know what my value is. I know what my worth is. And I know all of the success that I've been helping my execs with. And I can do this to more than just one person. So why not give the wealth around? So I've been now off on my own, helping out virtually and fractionally to multiple executives, mostly in small startups, as I feel that they've been the ones that have been needing more fractional assistance and full-time support. And that's what I've been doing most recently. And I can tell you it's so much different. Even though it's the same kind of tasks that I'm doing, it's such a different feeling and empowerment to myself to be able to do this. It's just the different kind of relationship that you have. It's almost a B2B, a peer-to-peer versus I work for you, you do this for me. And only certain executives, I honestly feel, are able to do that. Personally, I feel that historically, there's been this relationship that execs can't survive without assistance. They know that, but they also don't want anyone in the company to know how much that they do for them and how much they rely on them. And it's really all them. And you're tied down to this exec, but yet you're not treated the same as this exec. And I wanted to put this empowerment on assistants that you are worth your value. You do know what you're worth. And execs know too. You just have to help them realize how much you're worth. And it's been so empowering being able to go off on my own and be able to show them that.
That's fantastic. We're going to dive into a lot more around your career and advice for other assistants in the 12-year span that you've worked as an assistant. I would imagine that there are a lot of things that you can share. But before we dive into all of that, I would imagine we always kind of start at the beginning of your day to kind of build what your day looks like and your routines and things. I would imagine now that you are out there on your own, that your morning routine is very different to when you were working in a corporate environment. So what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, yeah. So my morning routine of when I get up and check, you know, I'm still in bed. And I always, you know, we're all tied to, you know, our electronic devices nowadays, right? So now that it's kind of on me, right, it's my responsibility. Before it was, when I get to work, I'll check what's going on. Everything's great. Now it's a little bit different because it's the sole responsibility is on me. It's my business, right? Everything, if I make money, it's on me. If I don't make money, it's on me. So my morning routine has changed in, okay, I do a, my eyes are still opening. I do a quick glance on the cell phone to make sure there were no fire drills overnight. Make sure I'm not waking up to anything that blew up, that any of the execs that I'm working with that were traveling, that are on a trip, that have any big projects that are going on that need my assistance first thing in the morning. Anything that had an 8 a.m. meeting, that had a project going on, that had a pitch deck going out today, that I need to jump out of bed and be like, oh my God, let me help them right now. You know, 9 times out of 10, there isn't, but there is that one time where I'm like, oh my God, let me help them. So I want to make sure there's nothing major or nothing major shift in the middle of the day where there's some kind of a meeting or something that I have to jump in. So I can kind of get my day in my mind organized to know, all right, I got to make sure that's being done by noon, or I got to make sure, you know, something's going on. So I do a quick glance in the morning and always make sure that that's done. And then I can get on with my morning routine of 2 cups of coffee without fail. That's going down because you don't want to talk to me until I have my coffee, or one of us is not going to be happy. So me without coffee is not a good look for anybody. So that's my major morning routine. And then I get into, okay, what's my day look like? And then I can kind of sort out what's going on. Because I now, working for myself, I figure out my routine, right? Is my day top heavy or is my day bottom heavy? Can I get some errands done in the morning? Am I doing them at the end of the day? And now I can figure out, am I getting my laundry done? Am I, you know, jumping on the computer right away? And then I figure out my day, because now, even as an executive assistant working in that corporate office setting, your day never looked, you know, no days ever looked alike, but you knew you were in the office 9 to 5. Now, I might not start my day until noon, or I might start my day at 8 and I might be working till 10 o'clock at night, or vice versa. So I got to coordinate my day as my, you know, my clients see fit and what I need to do. And I got to, you know, figure all that out in my head in the morning and then go on with my day. And that's my morning routine.
And then how busy are you over the course of the day? How many clients are you working with at the moment, and what kind of things are you doing?
So I'm still fairly new in what I'm doing, right? I've been doing this full time, I would say 6 months. So I'm still in that early stages of, I'm not only am I working with a couple of clients, I'm also still trying to get clients. So I'm also in that marketing phase of, I'm on social media. I'm doing a lot of postings. I'm working on my personal brand. I'm reaching out to new business owners, people that I know in my network, and also people that I may not know, but I'm connected to them through some other people, or I'm reaching out to friends to say, hey, do you know anyone that may need my services? So that's a big part of my day right now. I would say probably a third of my day is trying to reach out to prospects, which was obviously never part of my day before. So that is, you know, a big part, which has been dying down a little because I do have some clients now, but you always want to have that, I'm old school, Rolodex of clients that are going to be coming. So a big part is prospecting right now for me, which, like I said, was never before. But then once, you know, I get that in between my tasks of what I'm doing for my clients, I still have those regular clients where I'm handling, right, calendar and email management, travel logistics. You know, I'm sending out comms for some of the execs I'm working with for their companies. So I'm writing up that. I'm doing a lot of nowadays social media creation and content creation for some of that. So I'm writing all of that up in between what I'm doing for myself. So it's a combination of those typical things that EAs are doing for their full-time execs plus my own stuff. So yeah, it's definitely changed. But to know that it's for me, there's so much more meaning behind it.
I hear that from so many assistants who've moved over to that space. I mean, in the UK, particularly since the pandemic, for us just to use the more generic term of a virtual assistant, the industry is absolutely booming at the moment in the UK. I know the US is a little bit ahead of us, but it's a really interesting shift when you are, exactly as you said, you are more intentional because it's your own work, and you have to learn how to build your own business alongside doing the work for your clients where you are working as an assistant. So how have you found the building your own business aspect of it? From what I hear a lot of assistants say who move into a virtual assistant company where they're setting up their own business, they've learned so much from being an EA in an organization. The skills really do help.
Absolutely. I mean, I would have never even thought of this, one, without working alongside some amazing execs that I've worked along, you know, entrepreneurs that I've had. I would have never even had this idea if some of those execs were like, why are you still doing this? You have so much more potential. You could be doing so much more. Not only could you be making more money, which wasn't even the thought process behind it. For me, it was how I was regarded, how I was treated, how I could be doing so much more. You know, a big passion project of mine, which I'm sure we can get into a little bit more in some of your other questions, was admins and their recognition and their professional leveling and how much more they could be doing compared to other professionals and other, you know, industries and how they were. And I just felt like admins are so behind the times that, you know, it just wasn't, I'm sorry, can we start that part? I was just saying, a big passion project of mine was for recognition for administrative professionals that I just felt like they were never recognized. You know, a lot of the companies that I have worked with in the past, there are some admins that were there 20 years or not, but when you look at the professional leveling with other positions and other roles, it was they had the lowest bonus potential. They weren't getting raises. They were here. They were, you know, the lowest level. And it's just, why is that? When they're the closest to the execs, they're the ones, they have the most information in that company. They know everything that's going on, but yet they're the lowest regarded. And it was so frustrating to me, not just because it was me, but because it didn't make sense to me. When they're the ones helping so much, and yet they are there at the bottom. And it was even execs telling me there should be more. And I was like, so then why aren't you helping? And it just seemed like this catch 22. And so now it's a whole different playing field. It really is.
You're absolutely singing to the choir. I've been asking those same questions for a really long time as well. So I get it. We're going to dive into all of that. Let's finish off looking at your day. So I wonder now what some of the challenging aspects of your day are now.
Oh, my God. Challenges.
Where'd you start?
So many of those. So tactically, there's still those that time management, right? Because I'm now in charge of everything. The time management of just my calendar and all those different execs' calendars. Before, I was in some companies, I was a one-on-one, but sometimes I was a three or four-on-one, but it's still managing calendars within one organization. So now I'm dealing with time management and calendar management of multiple execs in multiple organizations that have nothing to do with each other. One, this is someone that if you're planning on going off and doing this on your own, it's someone that really, really needs to be very organized and have that attention to detail, because you cannot, God forbid, mix up an exec in a different organization. And God forbid, send something to one and something to other, because the confidentiality, one thing needs to be right there. And you cannot send a financial to one company and God forbid another, because I said I'm working with startups, so they're not public. You can't send something to another where you maybe happen to send something when you're working with three execs in the same company to another, they already have that information. So you need to really make sure your stuff is on point and you're not mixing and matching anything. You have to be working in different systems. A lot of these, because they're startups, they're not sharing licenses. So you're working on VPN. So hopefully you're not crisscrossing anything. So you have to be really cognizant of that. So that's a big challenge. Make sure you're not doing 10 things at once. Whereas before when I was in the air, I had all these things going, all the balls in the air. Really focus on what you're doing so you're not mixing anything up. That's a huge thing. You know, managing the fire drills. Again, a fire drill can come up when you're doing something. Make sure all of that. But honestly, that's probably the easiest of the challenges. If you've been in EA so long, you know what's going on. Handling the dynamics of the same things, the personalities of execs. Here I'm dealing with so many different people, different personalities. I'm working with a founder who is in their early 20s that's new to business, new to this, just out of, you know, a top-ranking university. And I'm also working with an exec who's in their 70s that's starting up, I think it's like their seventh or eighth company. So it's totally different spectrums. So you're dealing with different personalities. So that's another difficulty. And that I think those are probably the biggest challenges I deal with. And just having them understanding now that I'm your admin, but I work for you in the sense of you hired me now. So we're on equal footing. Again, it's a B2B relationship. It's different than you do what I tell you to in this sense of this old school mentality. It's really changing it up. So that's trying to get people to understand it. So I think those are my biggest challenges that I deal with day to day.
And with that comes such reward, I would imagine, because you don't have to work with those clients that don't see you on that B2B relationship.
We have a contract. I mean, if I say no, it's not money, not in my pocket, but I can very much be like, I don't want to do that. Now, could I have said that to an exec 5 years ago and been like, no, they'd be like, all right, you're fired. But like, I can tell them what I do want to do, what I don't want to do. And it's, like I said, I love this word. It's so empowering now that as an admin, I can say that to you. No, I don't want to. Sorry. Go find someone else. And they can, or they can choose, I'm in a time crunch. No, I need this to go on. All right. What if I tweak this? Can you do this? Sure. I can do that, but I'm not doing it in this way. And it's amazing that like being able to the power of no, which I used to tell other admins, like you don't have to say yes to everything, make cut those boundaries. Being able to say no is a great thing.
So I think we've mentioned there some of the things that you enjoy about your day, but what else do you find enjoyable in this new role?
I think it's just being able to, one, there really is the work-life balance is I can take on as many people as I want. I can work, 100 hours a week if I want. I can work 10 hours a week if I want. I can do what I want when I want, and I can do the tasks that I do want and I don't want. I'm sure there are so many admins out there that I was the type of admin, I really didn't want to do PA work. I wanted to work for the company. I wanted to be an executive assistant. I didn't want to do your doctor's appointments and work with your husbands and wives and your kids and do this. I went to school. I did this. I wanted to do something for a company. I wanted to help a company further themselves along and grow. So when an exec would ask me to do something about their dry cleaning and their this and their kid was sick and can you help me with my kid's insurance claim? And I was like, I understand it's maybe making your life easier, but this isn't not like, come on, like a one-off, but like when it came into this, it really, really bothered me. So this is, what I like here is I get to set the stage. When I work with you, we're sending out a contract. I'm setting up an SOW and it's detailing the things that I'm going to do for you. And if you want to add more to that task or more to that contract, then we're creating another SOW. And these are the things. So I don't have to do those mundane things that I don't want to do. So, I mean, I've had execs ask me to do some ridiculously personal things for them that was just way out of scope that an exec should never ask. Forget an admin. You should never ask somebody in a professional setting to do for you. I don't care the relationship that an exec and an admin should have. I mean, it should be very symbiotic and very close, but you should not be asking someone to do those things. And so that doesn't come up in these kinds of relationships anymore.
So. And I have to ask when, because I know people will be listening to this and thinking, that's happened to me an absolute ton. I know this happened to me when I worked as an assistant. So I wonder what you did in those circumstances. Were you able to say no? Were you able to kind of say no with confidence, or did you struggle in that way?
So to be honest, in my early 20s, it was just, I felt like you hired me. I'm your yay. The role is I'm your right hand and I just have to do what you ask. To be honest, there were probably some unethical things. I wouldn't say illegal, but unethical things people asked. And I was like, well, I have to. If I say no, I could potentially get fired. I'm being insubordinate. You just have to do it. As I got a bit older and I grew some more confidence and maybe some conversations with my parents at the time and, my mother at the time, who was high up in her career and had her own admins, I'd ask, do you ask this stuff? She'd be like, no, I don't. I would never ask. So it made the sense of, okay, so then why is an exec asking me? Maybe it's different. My mother's a female. Most of my execs were males. Maybe it's a different relationship. Maybe males ask this. Maybe females don't ask this. And to be honest, until one of my last positions, I had never worked for a female. So I thought it was just normal. So it honestly, it took a while for me. I had to get a bit older. I had to grow some thicker skin when I was younger. Sometimes I'd go in the bathroom and cry. Like, I don't know what's going on. It really took some time. I also, you know, I always make a joke. I'm from the New York, New Jersey area. You know, I got a mouth on me. Sometimes I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do this. And there were, you know, a time in my younger career where I was asked to leave a company because I didn't do what you'd say. And I was upset. And then after thinking about it, I'm like, I don't care. There was no way I was going to do those tasks. Like, that's just not right. And it took me a while, and it took me getting older to realize that was a good thing. I'm no longer at that company. That was not right of them to ask me to do that. And so I now, in my last few companies, when they would hire younger admins, I would help coming in and saying, look, set your boundaries. You don't have to do this. Say no to this. Because once you say yes once or twice, it's kind of expected. You got to make sure what you're doing, what you're saying yes to, what you're saying no to. Are you working weekends? Are you working nights? Are you going to do these tasks? And kind of set the foundation for what you do and what you don't do. And that would help so much in your career.
Do you think it leads really nice onto my next question, because I was going to ask you, what is one piece of advice you would give to assistants who are just starting in the role or maybe early days? Do you think it is that boundary setting? I know you've touched on it. I wonder if there's anything more there that you want to add.
Yeah, so I think the boundary setting is a big one. Another piece of advice I'd give to admins that I felt a big thing is relationship building with other admins. I've seen so many times in companies where you'll have a head admin or a higher up admin or something, and these new admins come in and it's these mean girls, high school, and everyone's so scared. Is this person coming in and taking my job? I don't want to train them as well as I know how to do my job, because eventually this person could take my job. And it's always, I've seen it so many times, and, you know, I don't want to always use the word female, but it is a female-dominated industry. I would probably say somewhere between 80 to 90% with it, you know, admins are female. I mean, we're starting to see a shift, but it's still that. And I always like to say, to promote, you need to replace. So if you can't, all these admins always say, I want to get higher. I want to, you know, be the EA to the CEO. Or I want to be a chief of staff. Or I want to be a project manager. I want to work in operations. Well, one, you're not going to get there unless they can put someone in your position. And they're not going to put someone in your position unless they feel someone is as good as you. And if you're so scared that, one, if they get this person there, well, then I can leave the company, they can fire me, you also can't get promoted. So you have to stop having this negative thought that you're going to get fired because someone is as good as you, because you can also get promoted. So you have to have this relationship building that you work as a team. That if you go on vacation, you don't want to work on vacation. So let this person back you up. Let this person know what you're doing. You know how many times I worked my ass off on a week vacation in the Bahamas and sitting in my hotel room instead of enjoying it with my family because I was so scared? Like, that's not normal. You have to have relationship building, and you have to have these templates and have these SOPs and teach these other women and men how to do the job as good as you at your company, because that is the biggest thing. The relationships I have with admins, when I left, say, oh, my boss is going on a trip to Las Vegas. Do you guys have any like venues there or hotels there or restaurants there he can go to? My world of admins is so strong. And without them, I can't do my job. Even now working for myself, the amount of admins I talk to all day to help me do my job, and they know nothing about the companies I work for, I couldn't do my job. It's so strong. So the relationship building is one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's just, it's having those connections and being able to ask those questions. The role can be so isolating at times, even when you're in a big organization and there are a ton of other assistants working there. Yeah. But say you're the EA to the COO or a board, you know, CEO or a board level member, when they don't have a team and it's just you and them and their direct reports, it can be so isolating. So having that network and being able to reach out to other assistants and just exactly as you said, asking those questions, making sure, is this happening to you? Because this is happening to me, is so important. It just, yeah, it just makes you feel like you're not alone more than anything else.
Yeah, it is a very, like siloed job, even though you work in groups, it is very siloed.
So you've been in the role, you have this new role, which is, you said you've been doing for 6 months, but prior to that, you worked as an assistant for a really long time. So I wonder if you could just give us an insight into some of the things that you're really grateful for that this career has given you.
Well, I think what I just said, I think it's the invaluable connections that enriched my professional journey and now like my personal journey. You know, more importantly, they're friends now, these admins that I've met along the way, and also some of the execs, you know, they've now been the catalyst for me doing this. And some of them have been my biggest supporters and my biggest cheerleaders and have helped promote me and have talked to their exec friends and said, hey, I know this amazing, you know, woman, Gabrielle. Could you use her? Do you know other execs that can use her? And they have been great. So I think it's really the invaluable connections that I have made that I am most grateful for, and seeing the profession change now. You know, I alluded to, you know, recognition and professional leveling. And I see, you know, I'm still young. I've only been doing this, you know, 12 or so years, but to see the change in that time. And I know that there have been people work on it before and there'll be people keep working on it. But the changes that I've seen and I know that are going to come is amazing.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, I think, to be an admin or an assistant at the moment. I think there are real changes and real progress being made. So, yeah, it's absolutely an exciting time. Yeah. I wonder if you can look back at the start of your career and if there was one thing that you knew that you know now, what would that be? What do you wish you knew?
Well, I don't know. I would say, I think it's really the impact that we can have on the leader's growth and the organization's growth. You know, when I was first starting out, I didn't really know what an EA was. Like I said, I kind of fell into it. And I thought it was really just a tactical position that it was, hey, can you schedule this meeting? Or, hey, can you book this flight? As I've grown, I've really learned what the position is and how much impact you can have, one, both negative and positive. And, you know, as you grow with an exec and how much they really rely on you and seek your advice, you know, sometimes you're the eyes and the ears of a company and they can say, you know, I had one exec who would really come because people are sometimes afraid of the big bad exec and they don't know. And your relationship with them was different. And I had people come to me and say, you know, this gentleman, you know, he's really scary in meetings. He yells a lot and he says, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Like, he's the nicest person ever. Like, me and him are cool. They're like, you have a different relationship with him. You just don't get it. So I would hear all this stuff and I would go to him and say, you know, people are saying in meetings, you're yelling a lot, you're putting a lot of stress on them, you change your mind too quickly, they can't keep up with what you want. And I didn't even see this because I'm not in those meetings a lot. I don't sit in the meeting, so I didn't know how he was acting. But I would give him a lot of this feedback that I was hearing. And no one had, you know, the gusto to say this to his face. So I was like, you might just want to think about it or pay attention in these meetings when you're saying something. And it really took light to him to be like, wow, I didn't even realize I was doing this, but if this is how a lot of people are reacting, I got to change it up because you don't want to be that boss that. And so you do have this influence on your boss or on your exec because you do hear and see a lot of what's going on. And people sometimes come to you with that advice, or people come to you because they think you know a lot or they think you will go to the boss. And you do need to be selective with what you say to them. You can't just go to them and say, everyone hates you or everyone loves you. You got to really know and be that not just gatekeeper, but be that pulse taker of what you go back and forth with. And it really made a difference. And people started noticing him lighting up and the difference that he would be. And it helped. So you do have more influence than you think you do.
It's that position, isn't it? I love that story, because it's that position your executive knows, having worked with you for a while. I mean, you can't go in there on day one and say, someone in the canteen has just told me that you shout in meetings. Like, day one, that's not possible.
Yeah.
But you know, you build up that relationship over time where your executive knows that you have their best interest at heart, because you are there putting in the shift every day, trying to make their day better, taking things off their plate, taking the plate away, in fact. And you know, when you go to them with that piece of feedback, that information, they know it's coming from a good place. You know, you're not there to take their job. You're not there to influence other people around them. You know, you're there because you want to make them better and more successful in what they do. So I think that's such an amazing story. Exactly as you said, assistants have so much more power and can add so much more value than they often think they can.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we like to end by sharing some love on the podcast. So to start with, as we're talking about exciting times, I wonder if you can share some of the technology apps or websites that you have found really useful over the years, or things now in your new role that you are finding really helpful.
So I joke around and say, like, I'm old school. I'm an Excel junkie. You know, everyone's like, this new stuff's coming out for project management for this. My go-to is Excel. Excel, every month, every year, they come out with new things. And if you keep up, the things that you could do with Excel are astronomical. Like, they really are. People think of the basics. Okay. Even advanced, people think a pivot table is advanced. There's so much that you can do with Excel that you would have no idea, between like V and X lookups and all this stuff that can just save hours of your day. And if you actually keep up with the new things that they implement, I mean, it could be like a monday.com. You can use it as a project management tool so much. And I'm a Microsoft person. I'm a Microsoft over Google any day of the week. So I really keep up on the things that Microsoft changes. So I really love anything Microsoft. So I do try to keep up with when they implement new things and take a training with that. Now that I'm kind of on my own, prior as an admin, you know, we probably never went to the events, the conferences. We never got to see all of our execs going to these fancy things. Now, you know, I'm starting to go to more conferences to network with both admins and executives. So that's a new thing for me now. I'm not really big on like books and publications and learning that way. For me, I'm a visual learner. So for me, reading something and absorbing it, I need to see it being done. And that's just how I've always learned. So that's why I'll do these online like webinars and stuff. But for me, like I said, it's a Microsoft world for me.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone speak so lovingly about Excel. It brings me so much joy. Honestly,
I'm a math Excel, like, I can live and with numbers all day long. Numbers don't lie. You know, that's just for me, data. It's always been, you know, I used to work for a CFO, in banking. Numbers are just a thing. They don't.
I used to work for a CFO in an insurance company, and I've never used Excel so much. I have to say, I completely understand. I had to really upskill my Excel game. I was like, I prefer COOs.
Well, even CEO operations, you know, you got to be able to read the data. You know, one of my last companies, I wasn't on this, but, you know, we had an amazing guy who ran our data science group. And, you know, the amazing things he did in Excel were just great. So I can't, you know, maybe one day I'll be their brand ambassador.
You never know.
Never know.
Well, that's all the time we've got, Gabrielle. I have to say thank you so much for sharing your story with us and your career. It sounds like you're going from strength to strength in your new career. So all I can say is I wish you so much success. And we'll have to get you back on in a couple of years to find out all about the new clients that you've had.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And we're done. Well done, you. I'm just going to end the recording there.
thank you so much for listening to the EA Campus podcast. We would love for you to take a minute to subscribe to the EA Campus podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. If you could give us a review, we would so appreciate that too. If you want to check out the show notes, you can do that by going over to the eacampus.com/podcast and take a look at everything we discussed. You can also find all the links to the resources, articles, and tech that we mentioned during the show. If you want to join the conversation inside the EA Campus community, you will also find all of the information on the EA Campus website. The community continues to grow, and we have an amazing group of assistants sharing their careers. We have ongoing events and training for our members, and we would love to see ambitious and career-driven assistants join us. Thanks for your time, and I hope you tune in again to the next episode of the EA Campus podcast.